Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom and Shabbat Shalom to everybody who is watching with us today. I gave a message a while back about preparing for a famine that will be coming. And this is kind of a follow-up to that. It's called A Famine Is Coming. And at that time, we were going into prophecy, and some of these prophecies we're going to go into again today, that shows in the end time there is going to be famine. There's no doubt about it. But today I want to read some things and go over some things from Scripture and from the news to show that that time of world famine is really upon us now. And I want to give us perspective moving forward from here. So I want to start in Matthew 24. I'm going to read verse 3 and then verse 7 and 8. It says, and as he, Yeshua, was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what is the sign of your coming in the end of the age? So we went over Matthew 24 many, many times, Luke 21, Matthew 24, and Mark 13, the Olivet prophecy, right? All about the end of the age that's coming. And then I'm going to read here verse 7 and 8. For a nation will be raised against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and plagues and earthquakes against many places. But all these are a beginning of sorrow. So we're seeing plagues now with COVID, and that is not going to be the last one that comes. The new one now is the monkeypox. And there's probably something bigger or another strain of COVID that's coming. But we see the plagues, the earthquakes have been going for several years now, major earthquakes that are above 6.0, some of them even higher than 7.0, and a few of them even up to 8. So we're seeing these things, and also famines that will come, as we'll see why a famine will come when you have some of these other things coming. In Luke 21 and verse 11, Luke 21 and verse 11 says, and there will be severe earthquakes from place to place, and famine and plagues once again. And there will be fears and terrorist acts, excuse me, which we've also seen in the last X amount of years. And great signs will be seen from the heaven, right? We've seen the Revelation 12 sign above other signs also that we've seen. And the winters will be severe. The winters will be severe. Another sign that we're seeing, that the winters have been getting worse as we're going along. If we go to Revelation 6 in verse 5 through 8, Revelation 6 through 5 through 8, and these are the seals of Revelation, well known as the four horsemen of the apocalypse, right? And it says, and when he opened the third seal, I heard the living creature saying, come and see, and I saw, and behold, a black horse, the one sitting on it having a balance in his hand. And I heard in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a measure of wheat for a denarius and three measures of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Right? So what's happening here? This is coming from famine. So the first horse was deception, the white horse, right? We say sometimes it could be for false peace or some kind of deception. And I mentioned this before. With coronavirus, I don't think there's been a bigger deception in the world than the coronavirus. And who was it coming from? Coming from primarily an American doctor who wears a white doctor's coat, right? So we see this. And then the second is what? War. And now we're seeing the war with Russia and Ukraine. Nobody knows where it's going to end. But there is probably at least a 50-50 chance that this war is going to go into a world war. It may not. It might end tomorrow, and that'll be the end of it. But certainly, we're seeing war that's getting more serious, and what's happening with Russia and the threats that are coming. And now the third thing coming is what? Famine, where we are on the cusp of, as we'll talk about here today in this message. And then he says, he opened the fourth seal, and I heard a voice of the four living creatures saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a pale green horse. And the name of the one sitting on it was Death. And Hades followed after him, Hades being the grave. And authority was given to them to kill over the fourth of the earth. With what? With sword, with famine and death, and by the wild beasts of the earth. So sword, war, famine, what's coming, and death. So war, famine, death. You know, first we had COVID, like I said. Now we see the great famine that's coming, and also the war that's in Russia and Ukraine that is affecting other things, and also the famine that's here. So I want to read to you a couple of articles just showing you where, like I said, it's not just Bible talk or because the Bible says there's going to be a famine that we're talking about this, but this one is called Why a Worldwide Famine is Coming Soon, and these are all articles within the last few weeks to the last month or two. Ukraine has long been nicknamed the breadbasket of Europe. Together with Russia, it supplies the global food market with a third of its wheat exports, a fifth of its corn, and a whopping 80% of sunflower oil. And we're seeing that sunflower oil that just a little over a year ago you can get for, you know, 89 cents for a liter of it is now $3, $4, even up to $5 dollars in some places. Ukraine dedicates 57% of its land to crops compared to 17% of the land in the U.S. The war has guaranteed that much of this usual produce will not be arriving to cargo ships this year. Talking about now 2022. Ukraine's most fertile land, the ultra-fertile black soil, is located precisely where the fighting has been the heaviest, in the south and the southeast. Farmers and skilled workers have fled or been killed or drafted for the war, leaving the fields fallow. Those who return find their equipment wrecked or stolen and unexploded ordnance lying about. The food that has been grown and harvested cannot find its way to export points for want of working transportation infrastructure. Anything that makes it to port, such as at Odessa, one of their ports there in Ukraine, which normally ships 98% of Ukrainian grain exports, cannot leave because it's controlled by Russia and they can't get the things there. The result is that millions of tons of foods are rotting in silos, millions, and ongoing, ongoing unharvested or unplanted. The precise shortfall is between 19 million and 34 million tons for this year and 20 million to 43 million in 2023. That is a lot of food. And experts say that this corresponds to the requirement of feeding somewhere around 60 million to 150 million people. Right? So that's a lot of people that aren't going to get food. And this is just from this. This isn't from all the other things. This is just talking about this one situation with the war there. And that is just for the Ukraine-Russia region. The situation in many other leading exporters has been almost as bad. In May, India underwent a record-shattering heat wave that damaged wheat crops, ruining an otherwise promising yield. In response, the country, India, banned wheat exports, citing food security. So all the wheat that was coming from India that was going to the world, that's not going, beside what's happening in Ukraine. Severe drought has crippled the agricultural output of Brazil, the world's top soybean exporter. China, which accounts for 20% of global food exports, is facing the worst in history winter wheat crop due to delayed planting caused by unusually heavy rainfall last year. What food there is to export has been trouble leaving the country thanks to the latest round of total coronavirus lockdowns in Shanghai and elsewhere. And China also now is not exporting anything out. So this isn't just conjecture. Beside many other things we're going to talk about, the bottom line is in a world where there's around 8 billion people, the food chain that has been going to these people, and it hasn't been that great anyway, there's still always 10 to 20 million people starving every year anyway. Now we're talking about hundreds of millions into the billions of people that are not going to be able to have food. Indeed, even before Russia had ever set foot in Ukraine, 2022 and 2023 were shaping up to be slim years. According to the Food and Agriculture Organization, through the FAO of the United Nations, the food price index shot up over 40% from 2020 up to the eve of the invasion in February. So prices were already up 40% because of the lack of food before the war. Since then, it has grown another 20% in the last few months. These are the highest real prices that the FAO has ever seen on record, beating the previous record set in 1975 during the depths of that stagflation, the Jimmy Carter years, and I don't have to tell you how bad it was back then. Inflation up to close to 20%, interest rates close to 20%, and it was really, really bad. So also, Russia accounts for 23% of ammonia exports and 10% of processed phosphate exports. These are fertilizers. Russia is the second largest producer of nitrogenous fertilizers and potassium fertilizers and is the fifth largest producer of phosphate fertilizers. The cost of fertilizer is already up 300% for farmers that could even get it, if they're possible, because there's a lot of places you can't get it. Without fertilizers, farmers are either going to have much worse crop than normal, and in many cases, they're not even going to plant. Countries like China know exactly what is coming, and that is why they are now stockpiling food. So this isn't, like I said, it's not just a religious type Bible warning. This is basically a famine that's coming around the world. Now, you would think with everything going on with food prices, right, that we would see maybe in the U.S. them storing food, and yet on the other end, you know what we've seen? We've seen farmers being paid in the last year to destroy their crops in the U.S. And you could check this out on the internet. There's many, 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 many hundreds of big farmers that have given, they said either you burn the crops and we'll pay you for them or we will not buy them from you. So many farmers had to burn their crops. And there's been now mysteriously in the U.S. over 100 fires in storage facilities where they store the grain that's gone. So this is really setting up to be something really, really bad. California, they've been talking about this for the last year, is having the worst drought that they've had in 1,200 years. California is the sixth largest economy in the world, and many things come from California and over there that, you know, are going to be lacking. Just recently, you know, just in the last month or so, even, you know, maybe a little less, thousands of cows are mysteriously dying in Kansas. They don't know. So again, now you're talking about beef and other things that are coming there. They're saying it could be the heat. Some people saying something else, but just thousands of them are dying. Fuel prices are skyrocketing all over the world with no end in sight. And now there's a major shortage of diesel fuel, which means you might not be able to have trucks to even get out there to bring the little bit of food that is coming there. So the UN was predicting 2022 to 23 to be the worst famine in modern history before all this. They were saying this 1 or 2 years ago because of climate change and global warming and the droughts and the different things and floods that have been happening and destroying the crop. But now, with all these other things happening, we are really in trouble. You know, the world is in trouble, and unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of food shortages, which we're already seeing now. In the United States of America, United States of Babylon, many of the stores are already having empty shelves. I know for us, we already see in a lot of the stores where signs up, you can only buy one or two oils, or you can only buy a couple of flours or whatever it is, because they don't have them. And like I said, the prices have gone up 300, 400, sometimes even 500% from this. So this isn't just, like I said, this isn't just conjecture. A famine is real, and a famine is coming. The question that comes up is, how bad will it be, right? How bad can it be? Well, only Yahweh knows how bad things can get, but I want to show you from Scripture, which Scripture says how bad it's going to get in the end time that we are living in now. So I want to go to the book of Joel, chapter 1. Book of Joel, chapter 1. And let's read the first 12 verses. The word of Yahweh that was to Yoel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, you old men, and give ear, all you people of the land. Has this been in your days or even in the days of your fathers, right? Like they're saying, this is the worst we've ever seen, worst we've ever seen. We see this with hurricanes every year now. They're getting worse and worse and worse, the worst ever. Never have there been so many Category 5 hurricanes in one season. And this is what he's saying. Tell your sons about it, and your sons to their sons, and their sons to another generation. What was left by the cutter, the swarming locust ate. What was left of the swarming locust, the locust larva ate. What was left of the locust larva, the stripping locust ate. Basically, there's nothing left. Awake, drunkards, and weep, and wail, old wine drinkers, over the grape must, for it is cut off from your mouth. Why? Because there's no harvest. So there's no wine making. Remember what we said, the grain, the oil, and the wine. You have to have grain. If you don't have grain, the bread, right? Bethlehem, the house of bread where Yeshua was born, because bread is the staple of life in the Bible. And if you don't have grain, then you don't have food. That's the number one food that people have all over the world, whether it's like in Africa where the grain is corn, maize, or whether it's in China where the grain is rice, right? Or whether it's, you know, in Western society where it's wheat. Without grain, you don't have nothing. And then the oil, which is what you cook it with, and also the oil signifies the Holy Spirit, right? So you have to have oil. And the third thing is the wine is the happiness, the joy. So when the wine is not there, that means there's no joy. Why? Because there's no food. Awake, drunkards, and weep, and wail, all wine drinkers, over the grape moss, for it is cut. For a nation has come up on my land, strong and without number. Its teeth are the teeth of a lion, and it has jaw teeth of a lioness. There my vine is desolation, and it has splintered my fig tree. He has stripped it and thrown it down, its branches grow white. Wail like a virgin girded with sackcloth over the husband of her youth. The food offering and the drink offering have been cut off from the house of Yahweh. Why? Because there's no food to do it with. The priests and the ministers of Yahweh mourn. The field is wasted. The land mourns, for the grain is wasted. The new wine is dried up. The oil tree droops. Be withered farmers, howl vine dressers for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. And now we're living in it. We're seeing the vine is dried up and the fig tree droops, the pomegranate and the palm tree and the apple tree. All the trees in the field are dried up because joy is dried up from the sons of men. Why? Because they're not getting rain for these trees. And it's very interesting now. We're going into the Shemitah here very shortly, just a couple of months we're down to now, right? And I hope people prepared. But, you know, I remember the last Shemitah cycle in Israel where people that did not keep the Shemitah, they had a late frost and all of their crops and everything died. But the people that kept the Shemitah from the stuff that was here the year before, after that frost, that stuff just came up on its own and they had food. And I'll tell you something, I think this is a really important Shemitah that's coming. And Yahweh's people better take it serious, because Yahweh promises us that he will bless us in the sixth year for at least 3 years. And I'm telling people even to prepare for 7 years, up to seven. But if you don't prepare now in faith by believing Yahweh's word, well, you are going to have some Shemitah. Because as we see here, this next coming year, for the people, because they're not keeping the Shemitah in the world. And who's going to have more food during the Shemitah? The people of Yahweh who have been preparing, or the world is going into famine? And this is a question you have to ask yourself. So drop down to verse 15. Alas for that day. So when is this? For the day of Yahweh is at hand, and it shall come as a destruction for the Almighty. So this isn't just any famine that's coming. This is famine that's coming from the day of Yahweh, you know. And the first famine isn't going to, you know, there's going to be many famines within that last 7 year period. And some really getting bad. But it's going to start, and it's going to start bad also. Is not the food cut off before our eyes? Joy and gladness from the house of our Elohim. The seed shrivels under their clods. The storage bins are laid waste. The granaries are broken down, for the grain is dried up. Right? There's nothing there. How the beasts groan. The herds of livestock are vexed, for there is no pasture for them. Even the flocks of sheep are perishing, because the animals have no food. And yet if you keep the Shemitah, what does it say? That your animals will have tons of food that's there from what's not being harvested. O Yahweh, to you I will cry, for the fire has burned up the pastures of the wilderness and has consumed all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field also long for you, for the rivers of water are dried up, and the fire has eaten up the pastures of the wilderness. Wow. So that's what we said. You know, the wilderness, you got to go through the wilderness to get to the promised land. But the wilderness ain't the promised land. And the wilderness is not greenery and beautiful greenery. The wilderness is desert. The wilderness is very hard to grow in the wilderness, right? When they were in the wilderness 40 years, that's why Yahweh had to provide the manna for them. Because without the manna, you couldn't survive in the wilderness. And are we trusting in Yahweh for his manna in the wilderness, right? Or are we just going along in life as if nothing's going to come along and just hoping for the best? So how bad can it really get? Well, let's see another time in history. Let's go to 2 Kings 6 and verse 25. How bad can it get? Let's take a look at a story here, how bad it was back in Bible times. 2 Kings 6 and verse 25 says, there was a great famine in Samaria, right? With Samaria, the northern tribes of Israel there. And behold, they were laying siege to it until the head of a donkey was at 80 silver pieces and a fourth of a cab of dove's dung at 5 silver pieces. So, wow. Can you imagine a fourth of a cab of dove's dung was 5 silver pieces and a head of a donkey, 80 silver pieces. So that tells you the famine had to be pretty bad. And it happened, the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, and a woman cried to him, saying, save my master, O king. And he said, if Yahweh does not save you, from where shall I save you? Out of the threshing floor or out of the vine? Fat, right? There's nothing there. And the king said to her, what ails you? And she said, this woman said to me, give your son, and we will eat him today, and tomorrow we will eat my son. And we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, give your son that we may eat him. But she hid her son. And it happened when the king heard the words of the woman, he tore his garments and he was passing by on the wall. And the people looked and behold, the sackcloth was inside on his flesh. Wow. So even eating their children, and you might say, wow, how barbaric is that? But yet we live in a day and age, right, where they kill millions of children. Maybe 40 million children every year that are dying worldwide, not by famine, but by abortion. By people willingly choosing to kill their own children. And now, in the United States of America, the Supreme Court, they did not ban abortion. They did not stop abortion. What they did was saying that abortion, the right of abortion is not a constitutional right, and it's up to each state to make their own law on that. That's what they did. And yet, all of these evil people out there, what are they doing? They want the abortion. They want it. No, they want it on demand. They just want it. And they're going crazy and they're rioting, right? Although I don't see too many of them being put in prison, like with the people that, were out there supporting President Trump that are still in prison from the January 6th lie, another lie that they tell. But the bottom line is, famine can get really, really bad, and if you don't think people can do this, just look in the world around you. If people would kill their own children, like Yeshua said, if they do these things when the tree is green, what will they do when it's dried up? And if they're killing their own children willingly now, during good times, for convenience sake, what are they going to do when the times really get bad? And when there's no food to eat, right? Because without food, how long is it going to be if people can't go to the supermarkets and buy their food, because people certainly aren't growing their own food today or storing their own food, and you're going to have chaos coming on the streets really, really quick. So why is this happening? Let's go to Ezekiel 5, and we'll see, because this is coming worldwide. This isn't just going to be Africa or Asia or third world places. This is coming as the beginning of the punishment on the house of Israel. And very interesting, because the book of Ezekiel is written when? It's written after Judah, around 573 BC, after Judah goes into captivity in Babylon. So the house of Israel went into captivity 100 and something years later, in 740 BC, around that to 720 BC, they're going into captivity, and then there's no more house of Israel. And yet the first 12 chapters of Ezekiel that are written 100 and X amount of years later, who are they written into? They're not written to Judah. They're written to the house of Israel, because this is an end time prophecy. And who are the house of Israel today? Even though there's Israelites all over the world, going all the way from United States to China and beyond, primarily where the Ephraimites are is primarily in North America. I'd say America, South America and North America, and also Europe. That's where they primarily are, in those countries, but they're also in Asia and Africa and all over the world. But this is what he says. He says, you son of man, take to yourself, Ezekiel 5, a sharp sword, the razor of a barber. Take it to yourself and make it pass over your head and over your beard. And take to yourself scales to weigh and to divide them out. You shall burn a third part in the fire in the midst of the city when the days of the siege are fulfilled. Right? This is from a war that's coming. And you shall take a third part and beat it with the sword all around it. And you shall scatter the third part into the wind, and I will draw out a sword after them. And you shall take from there a few in number and bind them in your skirts. Right? There's always a remnant that's left. And take from them again and throw them into the middle of the fire and burn them in the fire. Right? So this is the remnant in the end that's being purified through the baptism of fire. From it shall come forth a fire into all the house of Israel. So here it is. Like I said, the house of Israel hasn't been here, you know, in 170 years almost, 160 years, whatever. And yet he's saying, this is an end time prophecy. So says Adonai Yahweh, this is Jerusalem. I have set her in the midst of the nations, and all around her are the lands, right? So what's happening? Israel and Jerusalem, they're not following Yahweh. They've gone totally secular, so they're going to get punished, right? The land of Israel. And also all the lands where the Israelites have been staying in captivity. Primarily America and Europe, the first world countries, Australia, you know, South Africa, and where these places are. But wherever Israelites are, which are all over the world. And she has changed my judgments for wickedness more than the nations, and defiled my Torah more than the lands that are all around her. For they have rejected my judgments and my Torah, they have not walked in them. Therefore, so says Adonai Yahweh, because you rebelled more than the nations that are all around you, not having walked in my statutes, and not having performed my judgments, and you have not done according to the judgments of the nations all around you. Therefore, so says Adonai Yahweh, behold, I am against you, and will execute judgments in your midst in the sight of the nations. And I will do in you that which I have not done, and which I will not do like thee again for all your abominations. Right? So this is the house of Israel. Beside the house of Judah being punished, the house of Israel also is being punished in the end time. Therefore, the fathers will eat the sons in the midst, and the sons will eat their fathers. We just read it. And I will execute judgments against you, and I will scatter the whole remnant of you into every wind, right? Because this is the world war that's coming. Therefore, as I live, says Adonai Yahweh, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your idolatries and with all your abominations, so I will withdraw, and my eye shall not spare, and I will not have pity. So here it is where the Israelite countries have had a certain blessing, you know, because of the way that they blessed Israel and helped Israel. Now that blessing is coming, because in the end time, they've left Yahweh's Torah, they left Yahweh's ways. Verse 12 says, a third part shall die by the plague and shall be consumed by the famine in your midst, right? So we already see plagues coming, like COVID and other ones that are going to come. And the famine will come from that. And a third will fall by the sword. We're already seeing the wars already starting with Russia. China is also threatening now, and we're going to see, like I said, this may or may not go into world war, but world war is coming one way or another. And a third part, I will scatter into every wind, and I will draw out a sword after them. Drop down the verse. I'll read verse 13, and I'll drop down to verse 16. And my anger shall be spent, and I will make my fury rest on them, and I will be eased. And they shall know that I, Yahweh, have spoken in my zeal and my fulfilling my fury among them. In verse 16, when I shall send the arrows of evil famine among them, which shall be for ruin, for which I will send them to destroy you, even I will increase the famine on you and break the staff of bread to you. Yea, I will send famine and evil beasts on you, and you will be bereaved, and pestilence and blood shall pass among you, and I shall bring a sword on you. I, Yahweh, have spoken. Just like what we just read in Revelation 6, we see the same thing here. What makes this more dangerous now is because of Babylon's trading, right? And Babylon being the world trader of all these things, most people in the world today aren't farming the way they used to. In ancient days, everybody farmed, at least some. And today, hardly people doing it. So when that food stops coming to the supermarkets, where are people going to get food from? Most people, I don't even think, could farm a garden if they had to. They don't have the knowledge of it anymore. So as this famine is coming, and as we're heading into these last days and possibly the last seven, who knows, like I said, maybe one more after this, but this could even be the last seven we're heading into after the Shemitah, we better be ready for these times coming. You know, sometimes, you know, people want to say, oh, you know, sometimes the messages are too hard or too... This is reality. This is life. Are you kidding? That Yahweh has given us, his people, the answer, that we don't have to go through this, that he's given us his truth, he's given us his witness to give to other people. And what do you want? You want to go and be some kind of reality TV show or something like that? I mean, these are the times we're living in. And people, the people of Yahweh better wake up to it and understand that. That these are serious times we're living in. And like it says in the Bible, for our times we're living in now, that Yahweh will turn the laughter into sorrow. And it's time for people to repent. It's time for them to turn back to Yahweh. It's time for mourning, because the whole world has turned on Yahweh. This is like the days of Noah. It's like the days of the flood. And most people on the earth today will not be alive by the time Yeshua's feet go to that Mount of Olives. So unfortunately, it's just not the time for laughter. But it doesn't mean that the joy of being a believer should be taken away from us. And I think when people wind up getting too heavy-hearted, it's because they're not close to Yahweh and they're not following and doing His work. Because if you are doing the work of Yahweh, then even during these worst times, you know, you'll have a peace in your heart that surpasses all understanding by the Ruach HaKodesh. So yes, people are going to die by plague, by famine, and war. That's what the Bible tells us. And here we are. We're already seeing the plagues that are coming. We're already seeing the war that started. And now the famine is inevitable whenever you have these things. Ezekiel 7 in verse 6. An end has come. The end has come. It is awakened against you. Behold, it has come. This is for the end time. The encirclement has come to you, O dwellers of the earth. The time has come. The day of turmoil is near, and not a shout of the hills. I will soon pour out my fury on you and fulfill my anger on you, and I will judge you according to your ways, and I will put on you all your abominations. And my eye shall not spare, and I will not have pity. And I will put on you according to your ways and your abominations that are in your midst. Excuse me. And you shall know that I am Yahweh who strikes. Behold the day, behold it has come. The encirclement has gone out, the rod has blossomed, the pride has budded. So here it is. This is end time stuff. And why is Yahweh doing it? Yahweh, that's all merciful, all loving, all caring. And now he's saying his anger is going to be poured out, because there's a point where he realizes the people are not going to listen. And in this world, we're to that point, that people are just blasphemous. They're prideful. Like it talks about in Timothy, you know, arrogant, unthankful. And it's gotten so evil, like I said, to the point of even just killing unborn babies and thinking it's a right. A right to murder not somebody else's unborn baby, their own unborn babies. That they would kill the fruit of their own womb and not have any thought or any guilt or desire against it. And it's the evil world we're living in. And that's why Yahweh's saying now, enough is enough. And His wrath is coming. And like I've read it in Revelation before, when that wrath comes and these plagues come, do people repent? Do they finally say, oh, Father, please, we realize we're... Nope. It says they curse the name of Yahweh. They curse Him and they yell at Him, because this is the world we're living in. We're living in a totally demonic world of Satan. And that's why, as the people of Yahweh, it's not for us to change this world. It's not for us to save this world. It's for us to refrain from it. It's for us to go to the wilderness. It's for us to change ourselves and transform ourselves, so that when Yeshua returns, we are ready at that point. When He comes back as King of Kings and Masters of Masters, that we're ready to rule with Him on this earth and help the people that will be left at that time. Drop down to verse 12. The time has come, the day has arrived. Do not let the buyer rejoice, and do not let the seller mourn, for wrath is on all her multitude. For the seller shall not return to that which is sold, although they still are among the living. For the vision is to all her multitude, and it shall not return. And a man shall not hold his life strong in his iniquity. They have blown the trumpet, even to make all ready, right? The seven trumpets of Revelation. But no one goes to battle, for my wrath is on all her multitude. The sword is outside, and the plague and the famine are inside. He who is in the field shall die with the sword, and he who is in the city, famine and plague shall devour him, right? So even the ones that are hiding in the house because they don't want to get COVID, what's going to happen? They're going to wind up with war or famine. But if their fugitives shall escape, then they shall be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning each for his iniquity, right? Needs to be a great repentance. All hands shall be feeble, and all knees shall go as water. They shall also gird on sackcloth, and trembling shall cover them. And shame shall be on all faces, and boldness on their heads, because of the whole earth going against Yahweh and turning from His ways. They will throw their silver in the streets, and their gold will be an impure thing. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of Yahweh, right? The 1%, the big billionaires of the world that are causing a lot of these troubles that are coming and think they want to kill off all the useless eaters? Well, when the wrath of Yahweh comes, all the money in the world, all their silver and gold is not going to be able to save them. They shall not satisfy their soul, and they shall not fill their bowels, for their iniquity has become a stumbling block to them, right? Because they think their money, that they can get away with anything. They cause these fake pandemics or plandemics like COVID, and they think they're getting away with it, and they think they run the world. People like Klaus Schwab and these really, really evil people, the World Economic Forum, these people with the UN. And when the wrath of Yahweh comes, they're going to see. They try to constantly, arrogantly say Yahweh doesn't exist and they run this. Well, they're going to see who exists real soon. They're going to see who exists. And it certainly ain't going to be them, because Yahweh has a fire that's already burning, waiting for them. But as this is happening, another big thing that happens at this time is the fall of Babylon. Because the fall of Babylon will happen and the whole economic system collapsing, so that the beast power can rise and bring in the one world government and the, like I said, the cashless society and all the other things that they're ready. A matter of fact, America, Joe Biden a few months ago, he signed that by the end of the year that America would bring in already a digital currency, you know, that the Federal Reserve would have that. So we will see. We will see, but they are very close to it. Some countries like China and India have already been primarily like 90% using digital currency. And we are moving faster toward this. So Revelation 18, it says, after these things, I saw another cherub coming down out of heaven, having great authority, and the earth was lighted up from his glory. And he cried in a strong, great voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, it has fallen, and it has become a dwelling place of those possessed by demons, and a home of every foul spirit, and a home of every unclean bird, even the home of every unclean and hateful beast. And wow, how can anybody deny that? You know, shootings of schools, I mean, every single week, and just killings and murders, people on all these drugs. I mean, it's Babylon has really become a place that's just filled with demons and every foul spirit. Because of the wine or the anger of her fornication, which all the nations have drunk, even the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth became rich from the power of her trade, right? So who's running America now? It's not these politicians. They're lackeys. They're nothing. They don't have a soul. You know, they're like robots. Who's running it? It's the corporations. You know, it's scary to think that a guy like Bill Gates, who has no medical background, is making medical decisions for who? The World Health Organization, the UN. Can you imagine? Because of the billions of dollars that he's putting in there. But he has no medical background whatsoever, and they're making decisions on not saving life, but killing life. And I heard another voice out of heaven saying, leave the land of her, of Babylon, my people, that you may not share in her sins and you may not receive of her plagues, because those plagues are here. Because her sins joined together even reach up to heaven, and Yahweh remembered her unjust deeds. And it's the merchants of Babylon that are bringing this. The pharmaceutical companies, right? You know, Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer and Merck and all these other ones that are bringing all this evil stuff that's killing people, like the vaccines. Give back to her, she also gave back to you, and double to her double according to her works. And the cup which she mixed, mixed to her double. By what things she glorified herself and luxuriated, by so much give back to her torment and mourning, because she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow, and I will not see sorrow. So this is what it is. A lot of people in America, they can't imagine that there's going to be famine in America. They can't believe that America is going to be without food. But you know what? It's already started. It's already started. There's a lot of stores there, even Walmarts, where there's a lot of the shelves are empty. And the supply chain is already breaking down. And we haven't even begun yet. So yes, you know, where they're not growing food there and they are destroying the food that they have, there will be. Because look at verse 8. Because of this, in one day her plagues come, death and mourning and famine. And she will be consumed with fire, for Yahweh Elohim judging her is strong. And remember, there was a time where America was giving much wheat and grain all over the world. They still do some, but not nearly as much as they used to. And when the famine is in Babylon, and that means nothing is leaving Babylon and going out, because then he goes here saying all the things are not trading anymore, what happens? Look at verse 13. Cinnamon, perfumes, ointment, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, right? And the bodies and souls of men. So Babylon will not be sending out food supplies to the world, and that's why you are going to have a famine that's coming like the world has never seen before. Because there's never been this many people in the world, right? Up until around 1850, the most people of any time frame from Adam till then was around 500 million. Now you have 8 billion people in the world. That is a lot of people, and a lot of people to feed if there's not food to go around. So Babylon falling is going to bring also famine, collapse of the money system. And remember, the Shemitah is coming here in just a couple of months. And what is the Shemitah? I'm going to talk. I'll give more sermons about this. It's a year of building up. It's a year of tearing down. And many of the things with Babylon, because Babylon next to Jerusalem is the biggest end time player, right? And the Twin Towers were built in the Shemitah year. The Twin Towers fell in the Shemitah year. And because Babylon is the economic power of the world in the end time, right? It makes sense that in a Shemitah year, the economic system of Babylon very well could fall. So we better be ready. We better be ready, because it talks about, you know, there'll be such a cry in the world when Babylon goes, because then all chaos is going to break loose from that time period. Amos 8 and verse 11. Amos 8 and verse 11. Says, behold, the days are coming, decrees Adonai Yahweh, that I will send a famine into the land, not a famine of bread nor of thirst for water, but rather famine for hearing the word of Yahweh. So when this happens, also, there'll be no internet anymore. There's not going to be. We already see it. If COVID didn't wake up your mind and show you how quick, and not in a religious sense, but how quick that anybody who's not with this global order is going to be silenced, then wow, then you really have to have a hard skull. Because when you look at Facebook and Google and all these, what I've been saying for years, how they silenced anybody. They silenced anybody. How you look on even things like Yahoo, where you used to be able to comment after an article, and mysteriously all that stopped, that people couldn't make comments anymore after an article because they wanted nobody's voice to be heard. And now that they've practiced with COVID through the system, when the next one comes down, look out, because it will go down immediately. Any website that you look at now, including ours, the Congregation of Yahweh, it will be there. It won't be there. There will be a famine in the word, and either you're going to be strong in Yahweh, and you're going to be around believers where, you know, you could help each other and survive, or you're going to be in big trouble. And if you're just putting this in the back of your mind and saying, I don't want to think about it because it's too hard to think about it, then you're a coward. Because you better think about it, because that's why we were called. We were called to be a light to the nations. We were called to be an answer here. Not to run away in fear and not want to think about these things that are coming because we're afraid of them. Because fear is the opposite of love, and fear is the opposite of faith. And perfect love casts out all fear. And we better be ready here to work. And that's why we should be building faith now. And I know the last couple of years during COVID and seeing the reality of Yahweh's word come about, it's built my faith more than anything. It hasn't knocked my faith down. It's built my faith, because now I see it. I see it as clear as day. I see the system is 100% evil. I want nothing to do with it. And what I want to do now is do the work of Yahweh, witness of his kingdom, and then get ready for Yeshua's reign for the 1,000 years and to be helping him with the solution, not the problem. So we better be ready for this. And the famine of the word, it is coming without a doubt. Revelation 6 and verse 11. Revelation 6 and verse 11. I'm sorry, Revelation 6 and verse 9. Revelation 6 and verse 9. Because what happens after the famine? Right, the four horses of the apocalypse. First you have the deception, right, in the white horse. And then you have, you know, like we said, like the doctor wears the white coat. And then you have the red horse, which is war, which we're seeing now with the war going on with Ukraine and Russia, possibly going into a world war. And then next you have the famine, the black horse, and then you have the green horse, the pale horse, which is death that comes from the pestilence and the famine and whatnot. But after that comes what? Then comes the martyrism. So like Yeshua said, Don't weep for me, daughters of Jerusalem. Weep for yourself and your children, for if they do these things when the tree is green, what will they do when it's dried up? And if people are this evil in the world today, while there still is food out there, and the system hasn't been broken down, what are they going to do when Babylon falls and then there's no food and the whole money system is collapsed? So Revelation 6 and verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those having been slain for the word of Yahweh and for the witness of what they had. And they cried with a great voice, saying, until when, holy and true master, do you not judge and take vengeance for our blood from those dwelling on the earth? And there was given to each a white robe, right? The white robe is the righteousness of the saints. And it was given, and it was said to them that they should rest for a little time until might be fulfilled also the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, those being about to be killed as they were. So there's a great martyrism that's getting ready to come, and we have to be ready for that. Revelation 13, right? This is when the beast power takes over. Remember when the woman flees to the wilderness, what does Satan do? He comes after her remnant, right? The other ones, the Laodiceans, that are not prepared and weren't taken this seriously, who didn't have eyes to see of the things we're talking about today and have to go through that terrible time in the end to prove to Yahweh that they will follow him for eternity. So Revelation 13 in verse 5 says, and the mouth speaking great things and blasphemies was given to it, and authority was given to it to act 42 months. And it opened its mouth and blasphemed toward Yahweh to blaspheme his name and his dwelling place and those in heaven. And it was given to it to make war with the saints to overcome them. And authority was given to it over every tribe and kindred and tongue and nation, a world government. And all those dwelling on the earth will worship him, those whom the names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb, having been slain for the foundation of the world. So, yeah, what we saw during COVID for 2 years was just a dry run. And the next one that's coming, yeah, we're not going to be able to buy and sell. We are going to be outcast. We're not going to be able to work in the system. And this is why Yahweh gave us the dry run, to prepare, to get yourself ready, to prepare for it. Because without preparation, you know, then we could say, wow, but what can you say once he's giving you time to prepare and you just didn't prepare? You just didn't care. You didn't make it. So we have to prepare, and the time is now upon us. Let's go to Genesis 41. Because amazing double prophecy that we see in here from Pharaoh's dream in the days of Joseph gives us a real perspective on what's coming in the days ahead and gives us a plan of action on what we should be doing. Genesis 41 and verse 15. Genesis 41, verse 15. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is no one to interpret it. And I have heard about you, saying you hear a dream to interpret it. And Joseph replied to Pharaoh, saying, not I, Elohim will answer the peace of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, lo, I was standing on the lip of the river, and behold, seven cows were going up from the river, fat of flesh and beautiful form, and were feeding in the reeds. And behold, seven other cows were going up after them, poor and very evil form, and lean of flesh. I have not seen any like them in all the land of Egypt, for badness. And the cows, the lean and the evil, ate the first seven fat cows. And they went into their stomachs, and it could not be seen that they had gone into their stomachs, and their appearance was as evil as at the beginning. And I awake them. It is kind of interesting, all these cows that are dying now in Kansas, thousands of cows that are also dying. And I looked in my dream, and behold, 7 ears of grain were coming up on one stalk, full and good. And behold, 7 ears withered, lean, blasted by the east wind, sprouting forth after them. And the lean ears were swallowing the 7 good ears. And I spoke to the magicians, but not one is making known the meaning to me. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. Elohim has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows, they are 7 years. And the 7 good ears, they are 7 years. The dream is one. The dream is a cup. And whenever you see something like this, twice speak in scripture, it's talking about a dual prophecy, that it's going to happen twice. It happened in Joseph's time, and it's going to happen again in the end time. Isn't it interesting? Everything is in sevens. Why? Because it's Shemitah cycles. This is all coming around the Shemitah cycles. So these are all little clues that Yahweh gives us. And he gave us the last Shemitah and opened our mind to give us 7 years to prepare. A whole 7 years, and now we're coming. We only have 2 months left. Have you prepared? Have you believed? You know, Because faith is evidence. Faith is works. Faith is a deed. It's not just sitting back and doing nothing, right? The demons say they believe, but the demons don't follow. And if you're going to follow Yahweh, that's the people he's going to back up, and that's the people that he's going to help. But if you sit there and you do nothing, you're going to reap what you sow. But these are Shemitahs. These are 7 years. Look, and the seven thin and evil-appearing cows going up after them, they are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted by the east wind will be 7 years of famine. This is the word which I spoke to Pharaoh. What Elohim is about to do, he has made Pharaoh see. Behold, 7 years of great plenty are coming in the land of Egypt, right? We had our 7 good years, and 7 years of famine will rise after them. And all the plenty of the year of Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will consume the land. And I remember when President Trump was in office, they were saying these were the most prosperous years in the history of America and even the world. And how quick things have changed, because when the 7 years are over, then you're going into those 7 bad years. And the plenty of the year will not be remembered because of that famine afterwards, for it will be very severe. And I'm reading this to you. The handwriting is on the wall, and it is going to be a very severe famine. And while you still have little green pieces of paper in your pocket, and you can do something in faith, believing in Yahweh, and prepare somewhat, maybe not even for yourself, but for your neighbors, for your family, for somebody, you know, you better do it. And as to the dream being repeated to Pharaoh twice, the thing is settled because it is from Elohim, and Elohim is hastening to do it, right? It's given twice because it's a dual prophecy, and we're living it now. We're the second part of that. And now let Pharaoh look for a man who's intelligent and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh act and let him appoint rulers over the land and take a fifth of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of plenty. And let them gather all the food of these coming good years. And let them heap up grain under Pharaoh's hand as food for the cities, and let them keep it. And let the food be for a store for the land for the 7 years of famine, which will be in the land of Egypt. And let not the land be cut off by the famine. And you want to know something? Yahweh showed me this a couple of years ago. This isn't the first time I'm going over Pharaoh's dream. But we've been doing this in our congregation. We've been doing this in our communities. And praise Yahweh that I've been able, through the blessings of the tithe, to help the congregations to prepare before any of this. And you want to know something? We've been buying thousands of pounds of grain in Africa and Asia and different places, you know? And you know what's interesting now? That this grain that we were getting in Africa just 6 months ago, for as cheap as $22 for a sack, up to maybe $26, you know, on average, is now going for $68 a sack and rising. That's just in 6 months. In a couple of months, those sacks will be 100 and then 200 and then 500. And if people would have only listened. And a lot did. A lot did. But you've lost valuable time, right? I've been talking about this now for over 3 years. And you lost a lot of valuable time. And now we're 2 months to the Shemitah. Now we're right into it. So, you know, It's a scary time that we're heading into, but it's not so scary when you believe Yahweh. Because Yahweh, as we're going to see, will take care of his people if they follow his ways. So Pharaoh's dream, we need to prepare now, because, like I said, who knows what's going to the world's going to look like when the Shemitah is over. Thousands of cows dying in Kansas, fires in all the storehouses in the U.S., the Ukraine grain being destroyed over there in that country. Genesis 41 and verse 53. It says, and the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of famine began to come, according to as Joseph had said. And the famine was in all the land, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. Why? Because they believed and they prepared. And all the land of Egypt hungered, and the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said to all Egypt, go to Joseph. What he says to you, do. And the famine was on the face of the land, and Joseph opened all which was in them, and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine was strong in the land of Egypt. And all the earth came to Egypt to buy to Joseph, for the famine was strong in all the earth. Wow, we're living it now. This is the end time. And like I said, you got a little bit of time left before the Shemitah comes, and you need to be preparing for this, because this is right upon us. And if you don't prepare, you're going to wind up being a slave to the world government system. Genesis 47 and verse 12. Genesis 47, verse 12. It says, and Joseph nourished his father and his brothers and all his father's house with bread for the mouth of the little ones, right? Because he prepared, they had it. And no bread was in the land because the famine was exceedingly severe. They couldn't grow anything. So once they realized the famine was there, you can't even grow it because there's no rain. It's going to be a bad time. And the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan were completely burned up from the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the silver found in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan and returned for the grain they were buying. And Joseph brought in the silver to the house of Pharaoh, right? So now all the silver's gone. And the silver failed from the land of Egypt and from the land of Canaan. And all Egypt came into Joseph saying, give us bread. Why should we die before you? For the silver has failed. So now the food is gone. Now the money's gone. And look what happens. And Joseph said, give your livestock, and I will give to you for your livestock if the silver is failed. And they brought in their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave bread to them for the horses and for the livestock of the flocks, for the livestock of the herds and for the donkeys. And he satisfied them with bread in that year for their livestock, right? But now they have no livestock to get milk, to get cheese, you know, to get these different things. They have wind up with nothing. It's like Klaus Schwab said, you will have nothing and be happy. Why? Because they're telling you, you'll be happy or they'll kill you. In that year ended, and they came in, this is verse 18 of Genesis 47. And they came into him in the second year and said, we cannot hide from our master that the silver and the livestock have failed. Going to my master, nothing is left before my master except our body and our lands, right? You will own nothing and you will be, but you won't be happy. You'll be miserable. So now, like it says in Revelation 18, 13, Babylon has made slaves of the souls of men, and here they will be slaves. Because when there's no food there, people will have no choice. And we're like with COVID, people fought against the mandate and fought against the vaccine. If it comes down to starving to death, people are going to do whatever they're told. So the people of Yahweh, we have to prepare now. Because if not, you are going to be a slave to the world government. If you don't even have the faith now to just prepare for food in the Shemitah year, where even if famine wasn't coming, you have to prepare anyway, and you couldn't even do that, and you think you're going to starve to death, you know, when the mark of the beast comes, you're kidding yourself. You're just lazy, and you don't have eyes to see if you're not preparing. When not only does the word say it, but when you look in the world, we see it happening. You know, look for yourself. Read some of these articles. It definitely is happening. In a lot of different ways, in a lot of different places all over the world, the food supply is drying up. Amos 3 verse 7 says, for Adonai Yahweh will do nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. And he wrote this in the prophets years ago. And all we're doing is interpreting his word from what he's saying. And we're seeing that it's happening. But Yahweh warns his people ahead of time because he wants to save life. But you have to choose. I put before your life and death, choose life. You have to choose whether you're going to believe him or you're not. Genesis 45, 5 through 7. Genesis 45, 5 through 7. It says, and now do not be grieved and let not anger be in your eyes because you sold me here. This is what he's telling his brothers. For Elohim sent me before you to save life. For the famine has been in the midst of the land for 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which no plowing and harvest will be. And Elohim sent me before you to put a remnant in the land for you and to keep alive for you a great deliverance, right? So Yahweh is doing this stuff. Yahweh is allowing it. We already read his word. He's going to punish the people in the end with famine because they're not listening to him. And one big reason why Israel went into captivity was because they weren't keeping the Shemitah. And today virtually nobody in Israel keeps the Shemitah. So this is where we have to prove to Yahweh and we have to be obedient. And this is why we've been doing it. But you know, the little bit of money that we've had coming in for tithe and stuff, we've been giving it out and helping. But the well is drying up. And when this famine comes, I'm not going to be able to help. Either you have to be preparing now and setting up, or you're, like I said, you're really, really going to take the risk of falling into world government and taking the mark of the beast. Acts 11 and verse 27, we see that in the days of the apostles, a similar famine had happened. Acts 11 and verse 27 says, and in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them named Agabus, rising up, he signified through the Spirit that a great famine was about to be all over the inhabitable earth, which also happened on Claudius Caesar's time. And according as any was prospered, The disciples, each of them, determined to send for ministry those brothers living in Judea. And they sent by the way of Barnabas and Saul to the elders who were there. So, you know, like I said, we're not preppers. We're not doing this and locking ourselves away with guns to hide, you know, fight the war. We're preparing not only for ourselves, but for other people. Because the world is not ready for this. And there's people that aren't preparing because they haven't been called yet by Yahweh. And the more we prepare, the more we could help other people and the more we could witness to other people. So just like in Bible times, they did the same thing. And they helped and they brought food during times of crisis. They collected money for what? The most suffering brethren. That we should prepare now to help others because we don't even know where we'll be. But what we're doing now can help other brethren. People that are not preparing are lacking faith. It's that simple. You don't believe the word because the word clearly says it's going to happen and it is happening. And we're seeing it. So if you're not preparing, you're just lacking faith. So what is Yahweh's answer? Acts 4 and verse 31. Acts 4 and verse 31. One answer is community. Community, living together and helping each other and being together. Acts 4 and verse 31. And they having prayed, the place in which they were gathered was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of Elohim with boldness. The assembly of those men who were believing had but one soul and one mind, right? There's no conflict. There's no fighting the elders. There's no wanting to do it my way. But they were all surrendering to Yahweh and believing. One soul and one mind, and no man among them concerning the possessions that he possessed would say that they were his. Rather, everything that they had was in common. And with great power, the apostles were testifying of the resurrection of the Master Yeshua, and great grace was upon them all. And there was no man among them who was lacking, for those who had possessed fields and houses would sell them and brought the price of whatever was sold. And they laid them at the feet of the apostles, and it was distributed to each according to as any had need. And Joseph, the one surnamed Barnabas by the apostles, which being translated as son of comfort, a Levite, a Cypriot by race, a field being his, selling it, he brought the proceeds and placed them at the feet of the apostles. So this is what it is. Wow. They all had one soul and one mind. And people didn't look and say, this is mine. No. People shared everything. And Yahweh is going to use community living as a major way to help protect his people. Because that's where he can bring the matter. And like I said, we're doing this now. The community, 7 going on 8 years. That we've been preparing a good 7 years of the communities. And our communities are pretty ready. They have aquaponics. They've been growing food. They have fruit trees. I mean, a lot of different things on these communities that they're preparing because they're believing in the word of Yahweh. And this is where we have to band together. We have to help each other and we have to band together. 1 Kings 8. 1 Kings 8 and verse 37. And the most important thing is, though, we have to pray to Yahweh. We have to get right with him. Because, like I said, we're not preppers. It's not about we thinking that by providing food that that's what's going to save us. No, we're providing food because we're human beings. And as physical human beings, you have to have food and water, right? But we're doing it by the word of Yahweh. We're doing it by the word of Yahweh and in faith of Yahweh. And that's the reason we're doing it. Because he tells us to. 1 Kings 8 and verse 37. Yahweh says, when there is famine in the land, right, as we see coming, when there is pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, when there is the stripping locust, when its enemies have distressed it in the land of its gates, any plague, any sickness, right? We've been seeing sicknesses with COVID and other things coming. Any prayer, any supplication that shall come from any man of all your people Israel, who shall each know the plague of his own heart and shall spread his hands toward this house. Right? So this is, we're not worried about a plague of COVID. We need to look at the plague of our heart and see where we've been prideful, where we've been arrogant, where we haven't been humble, where we haven't been listening, where we haven't been submissive to the leaders of Yahweh's congregation and to the Bible, most important. And this is what we have to do. We have to look and get rid of that plague of our own heart. Then you shall hear in heaven your dwelling place and shall forgive and act and shall give to each according to all his ways, whose heart you know. And Yahweh knows your heart, whether it's good or bad. He knows it. And arrogance and pride is a one-way ticket to the lake of fire. For you have known, you alone, the heart of all the sons of Adam, so that they shall fear you all the days that they are living in the face of the land, that you have given to our fathers, and also to the stranger who is not of your people Israel, and has come from a land afar off to your namesake. For they shall hear of your great name, and your strong hand, and of your stretched out arm, and he shall have come in and prayed toward this house. You shall hear in heaven your dwelling place, and shall do according to all that the stranger calls to you for, so that all the people of the earth may know your name, to fear you like your people Israel, and to know that your name has been called on this house which I built. So whether you're Israelite born or you're one of the nations that's grafted in, it says it right here. It's about humbling ourselves before Yahweh, calling out to him and praying for each other. And Yahweh will hear those prayers and he will listen. Job 5. Job the 5th chapter in verse 17. Job 5 and verse 17, he says, "Behold, happy is the man whom Elohim corrects and despise not the chastisement of the Almighty," right? So this isn't a time for pride. This isn't a time for getting angry, you know, for whatever reason we didn't get our way or whatever else and wanting our way. This is a time for humility. This is a time to turning to Yahweh and taking his correction and changing. And it may be the last chance you have. "For he wounds and he binds up, he shatters and his hands heal. He will deliver you in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 no evil shall touch you." The Shemitah, right? 6 years and then the Shemitah. "In 7 no evil shall touch you. In famine he will redeem you from death, and in war from the hand of the sword. You shall be hidden from the whip of the tongue, and you shall not be afraid of violence when it comes. You shall laugh at the violence and at the famine, and you shall not be afraid of the beasts of the earth." So see, these are the people, the humble people that trust in Yahweh and aren't being of a prideful heart and are repenting and are changing and allowing Yahweh's correction to change their life. They're not worried about famine because Yahweh's word promises them that it won't affect them. "For you shall be in covenant with the stones of the earth, and the beasts of the field will be at peace with you. And you shall know that your tent is in peace, and you shall visit your home and shall miss nothing. And you shall know that your seed will be numerous, and your offspring as the grass of the earth. You shall come to the grave in full vigor, like a stack of grain comes up in its season." Right? This is what we talked about the Feast of First Fruits. "Like a stack of grain that comes up in its season, your spiritual life will come to fruition. You're not going to be like that grain that has no latter rain, that never produces, that basically becomes a tear. But you will come to the grave in full vigor, like a stack of grain comes up in its season." Wow. Producing fruit. "Consider this, we have searched it out, it is so. Hear it and know it for yourself." Right? "Consider it, we have searched it out, hear it and know it for yourself. Those that have eyes to hear, eyes to see, and ears to hear, let them do it." So this is what it's about. Yahweh has to open up your mind to this. You must trust in Yahweh during the worst times to prove your faith in him. And the last scripture I'm going to go over is Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, because I am an elder and I am a watchman for Yahweh. And that's why I give messages like this, because I love Yahweh's people. And I got to warn you, and I got to try to motivate you to act in faith and to prepare for the days that are coming and are here right upon us. Ezekiel 33 says, "And the word of Yahweh was to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them, When I bring the sword on it on a land and take one man from the people of the land, their borders, and set him for a watchman to them. And when he sees the sword coming on the land and he blows the ram's horn and warns the people, and the hearers hearing the sound of the ram's horn and does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the ram's horn and took no warning, but blood shall be on himself. But he who took warning, he shall deliver his soul," right? The wise listen, the wise change, the wise love correction. It's the fool who gets prideful. It's the fool who doesn't want to listen. "But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the ram's horn, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes a soul from them, he is taken in his iniquity. But I will require his blood from the watchman's hand. And you, son of man, I gave you as a watchman to the house of Israel, and you shall hear the word from my mouth and warn them from me." And here we are. That is what the message is today. I've been warning, I've been making plans, I've been helping Yahweh's people, And like I said, praise Yahweh that he blessed us, that we've been able to do a lot of preparation, but not nearly enough. Not like Joseph. When you think of how much grain and food and wine and oil and all those things they needed, not only for Egypt, for the whole world that was coming to them. Wow, that had to be a lot. But they had 7 years of plenty, and you know, he was next to Pharaoh in that land. They had resources. What we've done in the last 3 to 4 years without resources is a miracle, but the rest is up in the hands of Yahweh. So Joseph's storehouse, which we've been working on, helping to build communities, and we built a lot of community halls and different things, getting them supplies. But now it's up to the local people. It's up to the elders and local congregations, because like I said, when this time comes, it's not going to be able to write to me and say, "Elder, now we need food, we need this." There probably wouldn't even be an internet. So you got to take it serious. COVID restrictions did limit us some. I was hoping to do some programs with our leaders in the communities where they could have traveled to each other and helped them. Maybe we still can do some in the small time we have, but COVID restricted us some and with travels. But we've still been preparing, and we've done a lot now in the last 3 to 4 years. And like I said, grain that we were buying as low as $22 a sack up to 26 or a little more is now close to 70 and going up weekly. There's only a few months till Shemitah. If you haven't started to prepare, you're in trouble and simply don't have eyes to see. We must work quickly with the little time we have left. Put into practice the 7-point plan. Must act to show our faith in the word of Yahweh. Cooking oil, which is an essential for almost everybody, has more than tripled in just the last few months. And many other foods. Foods have gone up close to 40% just in the last year. And they're going to continue to go up much higher. If you don't prepare, you will reap what you sow. As it is showing a lack of love for your neighbor, who also is going to need your help when the famine comes. We're not preppers, like I said. We aren't trying to save our flesh, but we should be dying to our flesh daily. However, we do believe in the word of Yahweh and know that many people will go hungry. And that is why in faith we're preparing not only for 1 year of Shemitah, but if possible up to 7 years of famine that's coming soon. The handwriting is already on the wall. Can you read it? Do you have eyes to see? Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.